Well, good morning to one and all. Let us turn to Psalm 23. And this morning we find ourselves in the 23rd Psalm, which is a Psalm of David. And probably the most famous words of the Bible to both the Christian and the non-Christian. Perhaps you have it printed on a bookmark or embroidered in and framed up in your bathroom. And the thing about Psalm 23 is that it comes as a second part of a trilogy. I remember one of the first movies I watched in the movie theater was Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. And it was, as a kid, it was filled with action, it was filled with lightsabers, it was filled with these cool big snow walkers. And I didn't know the storyline, but as a kid, I just loved the action. And that is how it is with Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is part two of a trilogy series. Psalm 23 is part two. Psalm 22 is part one. Now, God willing, the plan is that we'll look at Psalm 22 as our text for Good Friday. And then on Psalm 24, we'll look at it on Resurrection Sunday. Now, if you turn back a page and you look at Psalm 22 and verse 1, you'll immediately recognize these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And these words are quoted by Jesus as he was dying on the cross. Some call Psalm 22 a messianic psalm of the suffering Christ. And before we can properly understand part 2, which is Psalm 23, we need to know the context of Psalm 23, which is found at Psalm 22. This picture of blessedness under the care of the shepherd in Psalm 23 is only in light of the context of the cross from Psalm 22. It is because of the one that the other can become real and true in your experience. It is through the lens of Psalm 22 that you can understand the sweet pastures of Psalm 23. And it is until you look at the cross and understand the atoning and sacrificial death that Christ, or of Christ, that you discover the sweetness and blessedness of that relationship to say that the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, the name Lord already implies a relationship. And we covered this last week. The name Lord or Yahweh means this covenant-keeping God. It is the promise-keeping name of God. The name Yahweh is only used with those who have a relationship with God. The name Yahweh is a reminder of the loving relationship between the Lord and the believer. And added to that covenant-keeping name is another aspect of that relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, other than Moses, I can't think of anyone more qualified than David to write about the shepherd life. David knew the role of a shepherd, for he himself was one as a young boy. When the prophet Samuel came to select a king for Israel and looked at the older sons of Jesse, where was David? Well, he was out shepherding the sheep. And yet the roles are reversed. In this psalm, Psalm 23, David is not the shepherd. David is not guarding and tending to the needs of the sheep. No, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this is the perfect metaphor for the Christian life. You can picture the care, the protection, the security, the peace, the rest that the shepherd provides. And how utterly dependent upon Christ are the sheep, even in their redeemed state. And so, with Christ as our shepherd, he provides for us so that we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, this is Old English. It really means, "I shall not be in want," or "I shall not be lacking anything." And I want us to notice the future tense of this phrase, I will not be in want. It's almost as if David is saying, God, you help me protect my sheep when there was a bear. You help me protect the sheep when there was a lion. And I know whatever obstacle will come in the future, no matter what comes my way, whether it be Goliath or whatever, I will not be lacking. And this is the assurance for the believer today. Now, even if I had a PhD in epidemiology or public health, I cannot tell you how this will turn out. I can't tell it how it will turn out for us as individuals, how it will turn out for us as a nation or globally. Will I get it? Will it be mild? Will it be severe? How long will it last, till next flu season or not? How will it affect the economy and perhaps my retirement funds in 1 or 2 years? I don't know what the state of Christianity will be in 5 years down the road. I don't have a crystal ball, and no one else does, that can look into the future and tell you what will happen. But I know, as David says in this psalm, I know the one who guides me, and he is my shepherd, who loves and who cares for me, a shepherd that knows my needs and will provide for me so that I will not be lacking. And what is it that those in the care of the good shepherd shall not lack? Well, firstly, in verse 2, David says he will not lack rest. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, firstly, David starts off with the idea of rest. It speaks of the tranquility and the calmness the sheep have in the care of the shepherd. Now, 10 years ago, I was a camp counselor for a children's camp down in Kentucky State. Now, my favorite period of the day was rest time or nap time, and perhaps this is the case for kindergarten teachers out there. Nap time is the favorite time or period of the day. And rest time came immediately after lunch, which was the hottest time of the day in Kentucky, when it could be 35 to 40 degrees Celsius. And in Psalm 23, the shepherd brings us, makes us to lie down and rest in green pastures. Some say for our own protection and not to tire the sheep out. And so for the Christian, what does this mean, this time of rest? Well, this is a time of Christian rest in God. Some say this relates to the Sabbath rest, rest from normal work, from the world, where one takes time to worship and to feed on the Word of God. But I think it goes further than just a reference to the Sabbath rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It is a continual rest in the nature and the character of God. It can happen on a Sunday, but it can happen any day of the week. It is this repose in the nature of God as revealed through His Word that we find rest. Now, in our hymnals, there's a hymn called Jesus, I Am Resting, Resting, written by Jean Sophia Piggott. And this is a story that's related to the great missionary Hudson Taylor. Now, Gene had a brother named Thomas, who was a missionary with Hudson Taylor to China. And during their missionary efforts, Thomas and 76 other missionaries were executed in what was called the Boxer Rebellion. And Hudson Taylor himself, saddened by the news of the loss of his friends, was provided comfort by this hymn. And so the first stanza of this hymn says, Jesus, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon me, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. We find rest in the shepherd, in Christ as our shepherd and guide. So firstly, there we do not lack rest. Secondly, the sheep do not lack restoration. In verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now James Montgomery Boyce states this, the words restores my soul can mean bring me to repentance or to conversion. But since the word translated soul actually is life, and since the metaphor here is that of shepherding, the words probably mean the Lord restores me to physical health or salvation. In shepherding, I didn't know this, there's such a thing as a cast down sheep. Well, what does this mean? Well, what happens is this, a heavy or a fat or a long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. And it may roll down on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. And then suddenly the center of gravity would shift so that the sheep would turn on its back far enough that its feet will no longer touch a ground, and it will sense the state of panic and start to kind of paw frantically. And frequently this will only make things worse. It rolls over even further, and now it's impossible for the sheep to regain its feet. It's on its back, its feet is up in the air, and it's said that in this position, gases build up in the body. It cuts off the circulation to the legs, and often it's only a matter of a few hours before the sheep dies. And the only one who can restore the sheep to health is the shepherd. He comes and he turns the sheep over. Sometimes we are like cast sheep. We are spiritually on our backs, quite helpless. But Jesus comes to us when we are in this condition, as he did to Peter. After Peter had denied him three times in Matthew 26 and 72 and 74, and he restores us just as he restored Peter. He gets us up on our feet and going again. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, next, he or we will not lack guidance. Verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, sheep are very foolish creatures. One aspect of their foolishness is seen in the fact that they get lost. They wander away. They can have a good shepherd who has brought them to the best grazing fields near an abundant supply of water, and they still wander away to where the fields are barren and the water is undrinkable. But the Christian does not lack guidance, but we need to pray for it. David says in Psalm 25 and verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. This is David's prayer. So we first have to pray for this guidance. Secondly, we need to follow God's instruction regarding the decision and the direction. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And down in Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse this his way? By taking heed or listening thereto according to thy word. God guides us by giving direction to his revealed word. We will not lack rest. We will not lack restoration. We will not lack guidance. Then verse 4 says that we will not lack protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now this verse is often used to comfort those who are dying and on the deathbed. And it's not wrongly used in this way. God certainly is a source of comfort in a person's dying moments. However, this verse primarily speaks of the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep in moments of danger. David says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And that's the idea of Psalm 23, verse 4, that it can be applied to any danger in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this virus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of a car accident. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of job loss. What does David say? Well, I will fear no evil. For God will make it go away? No. It says, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To the sheep, the crook and the staff is pulling in the direction of the shepherd, signify the protection and the presence of the shepherd. And an added comfort so that they need not fear. Now, back in late January or early February, when there weren't so many cases in North America, I remember listening to a podcast, and it was commenting on the current outbreak and its relation to the 2003 SARS outbreak. And they said, though it's not as infectious and severe as COVID-19, well, we didn't have so much widespread fear as SARS, because simply back in 2003, well, I didn't have a phone. Not many people had data plans. They didn't have the technology to spread and disseminate information. And it's been a blessing and a curse in today's day and age, this age of misinformation and disinformation. And that has only led to fear and to panic. And you see how that fear has resulted in irrational behaviors in the grocery stores. Now, this is not to say that the Christian should not fear. There is a godly reverential fear that leads us to worship. There is also a rational fear. If I see a bear in my path, well, I'm going to run. But there is a fear that leads to irrational behavior that you see today. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be overconfident and be careless. Every time I go into the car, I put on my seatbelt. But that would be, for the Christian, it means that in the presence of the shepherd, we need not fear, for God is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not only will we lack protection, we will not lack provision. In verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, I have read that a good shepherd will prepare the way for the sheep before they arrive. They will locate some suitable grazing field and remove any physical hazards. And they will destroy any poisonous plants. And perhaps a human equivalent would be that a friend invites you over for dinner to their house, and they say, well, don't bring anything, just bring yourself. And when you go over, you're amazed at the spread and the food that they have prepared for you. There's a charcuterie board, there is veggies, there's two platters of meat, and then there's dessert. There's no lack of food. Thou preparest a table. And you see, the point of the food is not only to fill your belly, they invited you over so that they can have fellowship with you. And I remember this as an example a pastor used to illustrate this particular verse, and say, as by way of illustration, say for my birthday, Sue's decided to bring me out for dinner. Well, Sue would have needed to look up reviews on various restaurants. She looked at the various menus. She would have to have made a reservation, and then we make it to dinner. And we're trying to have dinner, and perhaps my phone is buzzing on the side, and I'm checking it, and I'm looking at my texts, and I'm looking at social media, I'm looking at Reddit. And she is trying to have this celebratory dinner with me, and perhaps a conversation, and communicate with me, but I'm not really there. And perhaps that's the idea here, is that God is personal. He is our shepherd. And that as the shepherd wants to personally know us, well, it says that he knows his sheep and calls them by their name, so does God desire a personal relationship with us as his children. and it comes around the table of provision. We will not lack rest in verse 2. We will not lack life and restoration in verse 3. We will not lack guidance, verse 3. We will not lack protection in verse 4. We will not lack provision in verse 5. Lastly, we will not lack a place in heaven. And that's in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist says in the 84th psalm in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, for David, God's house referred to the tabernacle he had pitched for the ark. After David's death, well, the house was reinterpreted to be a reference to Solomon's temple. And in the New Testament, it refers to the church. And John Calvin wrote this with respect to Psalm 23. Why did David desire so greatly to frequent the temple, but to offer sacrifices there along with his fellow worshipers? It is therefore certain that in the mind of David was elevated to the hope of the everlasting inheritance. This Sabbath rest he finds in the temple is a picture and a foretaste of the Sabbath rest that we will have everlasting and eternal in heaven. Now, for those who are looking at to get into the Vancouver housing market for the first time, perhaps you can relate to this. You desire to have a respectable house or condo to raise up your family, and also in a respectable suburb or city. And you want a home of your own to own, a home where you can do your own gardening, a home where you can nail things in the wall, to buy your own furniture and to have that stability. And it's not wrong for Christians to long for such a thing. But for the Christian, there is also an eternal home in heaven. And if you have to rent for the rest of your life, let me tell you this, that there is a home for you in heaven, for the Christian, where you will be the first homeowner. You don't have to worry about the developer and see if they have a good reputation. Jesus grew up as a carpenter. No property taxes, no re-roofing, no down payment, no mortgage. Jesus says in John 14, verse 2 to 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so David summarizes this in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But in closing, notice that David makes it personal. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so the question is the Lord your shepherd? Because it requires a submission and acknowledgement that only Jesus can provide you rest, can provide you with restoration, with guidance, with protection, with provision, and with eternal life. And the great shepherd of the sheep does so through all the means of grace at his disposal, through the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, through prayer, through the church, and the holy sacraments. Oh, what it is, this blessed assurance and trust that David has in the Lord as his shepherd. And likewise, in this time of uncertainty, we can also have that blessed assurance and trust in the Lord as our shepherd. Now, to the non-Christian, do you know the shepherd? Do you know him personally? John 10, verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Do you know him on the basis of Psalm 22, the suffering Christ who came to die for our sins? Do you know the punishment that he paid for our sins that we needed to take, for we are sinners? And it is only in light of Psalm 22, in repentance, an acknowledgement that Christ is our Savior, that we can come and apply Psalm 23 to our lives with this blessed assurance, saying that the Lord is my shepherd. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not forsaken us, you have not forgotten us, but yet you provide for us day in and day out. You are our shepherd. You love us, you care for us, and you provide for us. And we pray that whatever situation we are going through, whether it be physical in our health, whether it be financial, whether it be in our relationships with one another, that you will first give us your grace, which is sufficient, but also provide for us according to our daily needs. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.